Welcome to The Great Sending, Episode 7, God's Heart for the World Beating Through You, a series of devotions edited by Will Soans and published by 10th Power Publishing of Elgin, Illinois. This is the last episode of Season 4, which focuses upon the Great Sending Essentials. Today's message, The Great Expansion of the Faith, is written by the Reverend Dr. Paul Meyer. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writes, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Fortunately, we have an accurate record of how believers responded to God's commissioning in the earliest history of Christianity, the book of Acts. This scripture is a detailed and accurate record of the church's earliest history and concentrates on the missional journeys of the greatest followers of Jesus, Saul, later Paul of Tarsus. In his achievements for the faith as the church's greatest missionary, theologian, and universalizer of the faith to the Gentile world of his day, in the eastern Mediterranean coastlands, Asia Minor, which is today's Turkey, Greece, and Italy, he was the one person in history who totally understood the general commission of God in Christ. Paul earned his right to be an apostle since he had fulfilled the requirements of apostleship as one who had seen the risen Lord and had been commissioned by him to preach the gospel, both happening at his spectacular conversion on the road to Damascus. God's commissioning also targeted the least likely person in the world who would receive it. At that time, no one hated nor opposed Jesus more than the Saul of Tarsus. In fact, Saul had also persecuted the early Christians in Jerusalem and beyond. Small wonder that Paul would call himself the chief of sinners. In his letter to Timothy, Paul shows why God did it this way. Nothing is so powerful that it can withstand God's commissioning. The second half of the book of Acts discloses a thrilling account of how all this happened. Timothy was Paul's own disciple, an understudy who joined him at Lystra in Asia Minor during his second missionary journey. Along with Luke, Timothy accompanied Paul for the rest of his career. Luke, our historian, shows us the statistical effects of the divine commission at several points in the New Testament. The effect of Peter's preaching in Jerusalem, where there were 3,000 converts to the faith. To Peter and John in Jerusalem, sometime later, with 5,000 converts. And then in Thessalonica, on the second journey, where Luke writes that Paul's Jewish opponents claimed that he had turned the world upside down for the cause of Christ. Paul would also write to the Colossians in chapter 1 of his gratitude to God and the joy that the gospel was now being proclaimed throughout the Mediterranean world. Critics have scoffed at all these statistics, especially since ancient historians have trouble not exaggerating statistical successes. While this is true of ancient historians generally, it is not true of Luke. Secular resources actually support Luke's statistics. Cornelius Tacitus, one of Rome's finest source historians, tells us in his annals that in the year 64, when over half of Rome was destroyed in the Great Fire, the Emperor Nero accused Christians of starting the fire. Then Tacitus explained who the Christians were. He writes, they were named for a Christ who was crucified by one of our governors, Pontius Pilate. And the pernicious superstition was also eliminated, but suddenly gained new vigor and found its way even to Rome, where sewage flows from all over the world. The point is this. The Latin term for vast numbers is used elsewhere by Tacitus to refer to high hundreds or thousands. This statistic is extremely important as outside testimony to the astonishing growth of the early church. Here in Rome, 1,500 miles away from Palestine, and only 31 years after Jesus' resurrection, a vast multitude of converts were present. And this is only the number that were arrested. It did not include the greater number of Christians who hid from or fled the horror. Such a vast population of Christians is only possible if the numbers had grown explosively, as described by Luke. In Asia Minor, only 12 years or so after the death of the Apostle John, Pliny the Younger, a Roman governor in Asia Minor, wrote to the Emperor Trajan, whose reign was from 98 to 117, he wrote that there were so many Christians that the pagan temples were being deserted, and even the country people were singing hymns to Christ as to a god. For a faith to explode at such a rapid rate was unparalleled in the Mediterranean world, and all but shouts that Luke was not exaggerating. Luke is reliable. Wow. In the modern world, it is widely assumed that Christianity, along with religion in general, is declining, and scientific and materialistic philosophies are gaining. Now think about this. If this claim is true, how can we account for this rapid spread of Christianity centuries ago? Perhaps a good follow-up question is to ask yourself this. What evidence do we see around the world that religion in general is not in decline? And then bring it at home. Ask yourself, how might a revival be possible again in developed nations? Please pray with me. Dear Lord of History, we often refer to the story of Christianity, the story of the early church, and we have Bible storybooks for the young. If by using the term story, we intend only illustrations, myths, or fairy tales, please forgive us. This material is history, not a simple, neat, and tidy story. We praise and thank you for providing an abundance, even to outside records, hostile to the Bible, that reinforce that your great commissioning is based on fact, not myth or fiction. May our response today try to parallel that of your saints of the ancient world as we endeavor to spread the faith as they did, all with the help of your attending Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, this concludes season 4, but season 5 is right around the corner. And its focus will be upon the great sending multiplication of the Gospel of Acts. I hope you will join me for that as well.